It was Kaganovich's other protégé who suddenly emerged as the coming man. Yezhov was already the overlord of the Kirov case. Now he was promoted to Kirov's place as CC secretary, and on the 31st of March was officially designated to supervise the NKVD. Soon to be notorious as one of history's monsters, the bloody dwarf, Yezhov, was actually liked by virtually everyone he met at this time, particularly women. His face was almost beautiful, recalled one lady, his grin wide, his eyes a bright, clever green-blue, his hair thick and black. Not only was he an energetic workaholic, this small, slender man, always dressed in a crumpled cheap suit and a blue satin shirt, charmed people, chattering away in his Leningrad accent. He suffered from a slight limp, but he had a fine baritone, played the guitar, and danced the gapak. However, he was skinny and tiny. In a government of small men, he was almost a pygmy, 151 centimeters tall. "I don't know a more ideal worker," observed a colleague. "After entrusting him with a job, you can leave him without checking and be sure he would do it." But there was one problem. He does not know how to stop. This was an admirable and deadly characteristic in a Bolshevik during the Terror, but it also extended to Yezhov's personal life. His humor was oafishly puerile. He presided over competitions to see which trouserless commissar could fart away handfuls of cigarette ash. He cavorted at orgies with prostitutes, but was also an enthusiastic bisexual, having enjoyed avid encounters with his fellow tailoring apprentices, soldiers at the front, and even high Bolsheviks like Philippe Goloshokin, who had arranged the murder of the Romanovs. His only hobby, apart from partying and fornicating, was collecting and making model yachts. Unstable, sexually confused and highly strung, he was too weak to compete with bulldozers like Kaganovich, not to mention Stalin himself. Yezhov suffered constant nervous illnesses, including psoriasis, a condition he probably shared with Stalin, and what they called neurasthenia. He often sank into gloomy depression, drank too much, and had to be nurtured by Stalin just to keep him at work. Yezhov was uneducated, but also sly, able, perceptive, and without moral boundaries. Stalin gave nicknames to his favorites. He called Yezhov "My Blackberry," Yezhevika. Yezhov did not rise alone. He was accompanied by his wife, who was to become the most flamboyant and, literally, fatal flirt of Stalin's entourage. Slim, with flashing eyes, Yevgenia Feigenberg was an avid literary groupie and as promiscuous as her husband. She possessed the amorous enthusiasm of Messalina, but none of her guile. No one objected to Yezhov's rise. On the contrary, Khrushchev thought him an admirable appointment. Blackberry worked uneasily with Yagoda to force Zinoviev, Kamenev, and their unfortunate allies to confess to being responsible for the murder of Kirov and all manner of other dastardly deeds. It was not long before Blackberry's chainmail fist reached out to crush one of Stalin's oldest friends, Abel Yenukidze, Nadia's godfather. That genial sybarite flaunted his sexual affairs with ever younger girls, finally sinking to children of 9 to 11 years old. The catalyst for his fall was Stalin's favorite subject, personal history. When Yenukidze's book, The Secret Bolshevik Printing Presses, was published, it was sent to Stalin. The marginalia in his copy shows his almost blimpish irritation. "That's false," "fibs," and "balderdash." When Yenukidze wrote an article about his activities in Baku, Stalin distributed it to the Politburo, peppered with ha-ha-ha. Yenukidze made a grievous mistake in not lying about Stalin's heroic exploits. This was understandable because the outstanding part in the creation of the Baku movement had been played by himself. Now Nadia's death caught up with Yenukidze. The NKVD arrested 110 of his employees for terrorism. Stalinist plots always featured a wicked beauty. Sure enough, there was a countess, said to have poisoned book pages to kill Stalin. Two were sentenced to death, and the rest from 5 to 10 years in the camps. Like everything that happened around Stalin, this Kremlin case had various angles. It was partly aimed at Yanukitza, partly at clearing the Kremlin of possibly disloyal elements, but it was also somehow connected to Nadia. A maid was arrested for gossiping with her friends about Nadia's suicide. Stalin had surely not forgotten that Yanukitza had swayed Nadia politically and been the first to see the body. Yanukitza was sacked, made to publish a correction of errors, demoted to run a Caucasian sanatorium, and viciously attacked by Yezhov and Beria at a plenum.